by the powers vested in me by the Federal Communications Commission, I command you to get on the microphone in a serious manner and continue this broadcast.
You are listening to the Massive Report Podcast, your complete source of information, news, and analysis of your awesome town crew.
Similar spot. Nothing but contact inside. Robles goes over a body. Oh, that's where I think Olave may have gotten a shove in there.
Will history repeat itself? Remember, it was 0-0. These two teams here at Cruz Stadium back in May. Columbus on that night had been the better side. Penalty kick was awarded, but Higuain missed. And New York came back to win that game 1-0. Red Bulls have not won a game this season when giving up the first against.
They want to see the men in gold and black finish out the game.
How about that ball? Higuain's in.
Goes for the finesse! Beauty!
But Robles is so far off his line. How about Higuain reaching into his bag of tricks?
That's pretty awesome. I can't hear myself. There we go. It's a massive report. What's going on?
It's Monday after a win.
Wait, what?
I know. I can't believe it either. I really don't know what to say. We won.
I'm shocked.
I'm shocked and very, very excited about it. And there we go. I totally couldn't hear myself for that entire beginning segment. It was very concerning.
It's okay. Nobody else can hear you either.
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah. It's fine. Massive Report live at Hen Docks. $2 drafts. Come out and join us. 7 o'clock every single Monday night, except for the Monday before USA Mexico, which we'll talk about later, because that's going to be pretty sweet. A lot of stuff to get to. Obviously, a big win over New York, and that's where we're going to start. I'm joined, as always, by Larry Johnson, Justin Bell, Chris Lamacchia, Sam Fahmy, touching the dials and shutting my microphone off before the show starts, as usual. Not eating Chinese food, though. Which, seriously, Sam, you've just screwed up my entire evening. I don't know what to do when you're not eating Chinese food.
You should try these jalapeno poppers.
I'm a little dismayed. Our guest co-host this evening didn't bring you some Quavers, or some prawn crisps, or something along those lines. Danny Bidmead.
I would have been fine with a Cadbury.
A Cadbury? Well, he didn't bring crap for anybody, and so I'm going to leave him in Sandusky tomorrow. I'm just letting you know. Dan Bidbeat in town as well. What's up, Dan? How you doing?
I'm good. Good, thanks.
I'm glad to hear that. But as always, to go to the only intelligent discussion in the room, to break down the match, we go first to Larry. What's up, Larry? How you doing?
Good. How's it going?
It's going really well. Yeah, it's so weird. They changed the table that we're at, so all of us...
Hendox redecorated on us.
Hendox did redecorate on us, so now we're all sitting at a booth.
Do you have any questions for Sam and I? For way down there?
That's what it seems like.
And Larry and Sam are now up at this high top table that we've moved next to it, and it's a bit disconcerting.
We're worshiping at their feet.
We are.
You should.
Well done.
So,
The New York game.
I want to get started with that. Larry, give me your expert analysis on it.
It was a good game. I think the Crew, I actually thought the last game they played a good game. So, they pulled it off.
Yeah.
And Thierry Henry missing, obviously, is a big deal. But they had 8 or 9 of their regular starters out there.
Mm-hmm.
And New York played the kind of game that they normally play, and the Crew, played up to the level. I think they threw him a curveball with the formation that they started out with.
Yeah.
I think that, Pecky being suspended, he expected the 2 holding mids type thing, and they went in like no big deal.
Yeah.
And Warzia actually changed it up, or whoever made that decision. I think that was the key. I don't think they expected just Will Trapp out there.
Yeah.
I really don't. And having Bernardo and Orr as your central sort of attacking midfielder. I think it was something they weren't prepared for. They don't have their coach on the sidelines to make adjustments.
Yeah.
And the Crew just, eventually caught up with them, and Higuain was able to win the game. By himself.
Well,
I mean, shot. Will Trapp kind of helped him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, Will Trapp had a great game.
Yeah.
I mean, this absolutely. Is Will Trapp, Higuain, even Chad Marshall, Josh Williams to a little bit of a lesser extent. They all had great games.
Matt Lampson had a stellar game.
Matt Lampson played well. Everybody. I mean, really, even Miram out there was doing pretty well.
Well, let's not go too far.
he was a little bit invisible.
He was doing God's work.
He was invisible. He wasn't making big mistakes. But
which is good for him.
Yeah.
I mean,
makes a change.
Yeah, in the that midfield spot. So that's my take on it. I think the past couple of games, I've really liked the way they have played. I think they were still a little bit wasteful in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
There's with that formation, that's the one all of us here, I think, have been waiting for. Mm-hmm. We've wanted it for weeks and weeks and weeks, 10 games ago. It was good to see.
Yeah. Justin, so at this point, Warzija, job totally secure. Very, very excited about the rest of the season as we're going to win the Supporters' Shield, right?
No, we're not going to win the Supporters' Shield.
We're not?
Sure?
No.
No, we're not mathematically eliminated yet.
Are we mathematically eliminated from the U.S. Open Cup yet?
Well,
I'm still waiting for my prediction.
2013, but not 2014. We're still good on that.
Yeah, you know what? What happened was very few runs by the fullbacks. The fullbacks, for the most part, stayed out of the way of the attacking players.
Yeah,
and I think that made a big difference. Because what it did was it allowed the guys who get forward and who create soccer, to do that. And particularly Higuain. I mean, the play that he made to score that goal was so much more than just getting a pass from Will Trapp.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He went back and got that ball.
Yeah.
And then he made a defensive play and turned it into an offensive run.
Yeah.
And they have to. It's what we've been. I've been saying all year. I think a lot of us have been saying all year. They have to get players to play with him.
Mm-hmm.
Next year, it's just. It's imperative. You cannot stress this enough. And Anthony Precourt has said he wants. I think I heard him say somewhere he wants to get a second designated player. That's going to be a very big part of how this team goes in the next year.
No, he didn't say that. It wasn't on Big Soccer, so he didn't say
it. No, it wasn't.
We'll get
it's
that
not
later,
confirmed.
Chris. Oh, okay, sorry.
We'll get to that later.
But that was the play of the year,
yeah.
in my estimation. Not even close. Anything else? No other goal by Dominic Oduro. Nothing anyone has done this year tops that. That was just absolutely beautiful.
Is this how people get his groove back?
I think so.
Okay, good.
I think it is
good. Dan,
Yes.
The crew has finally broken the curse.
Yep.
They've won a match when you're in this country.
I know, and now I'm going to stay here for good luck, obviously. Yeah, so it was a good game.
So what'd you think?
What, of just in love?
Of everything.
Of the game.
Yes.
Everything. No,
all
I mean,
the things.
All of the things. All of the time. No, I thought it was a great game. It made a change for us to play a great game. The penalty was obviously fantastic, and I'll take those.
Completely legit.
Take those every single
There's no
game.
Debating that.
Have we figured out what happened yet?
I think no. It was karma yes. catching up.
Somebody got fouled in the box. That's what happened.
Really?
It was karma catching up with the Robbie Keane thing.
Giving them the business. That's what it was. They were giving them the business.
Mm. We duped them.
Yes.
We duped them.
According to MLS, we duped them.
That's what we did.
That's. I love the official...
The official
release
stamp on that
said
is that
we duped. We duped the officials.
Wait, we phillied the officials?
I know.
So D-double-O-P-E-D?
Yes.
No. It's D-double-O-P apostrophe D.
Oh, God.
Lord.
Get your grammar right.
Flipping crab people. Crab people,
well,
I swear to God.
Chicago had a massive win, apparently, according to MLS as well.
No. Frank Kloppis said that.
MLS... called it that in their headline, and then Anthony Precourt called him out on it.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah, no, I saw that on Twitter.
How much
do
you love this guy right now?
I go.
How much do you totally love our new owner right now?
That should be a topic of discussion.
Well, according to Big Soccer, I don't love him enough. No, it's not allowed again. Sorry.
We're gonna get to that, Chris.
You're not bitter about this at all, are you?
I just think it's hilarious.
It's not loading, but we'll come back. We'll come back to that.
It's
in a few
funny
minutes.
How we're not really quite sure how to do a podcast after a win anymore.
No, we're really not. Really, like, what do we talk about?
I'm just thrown by the levels here.
I am going to say one thing. The levels are throwing me off too. Okay, so I wasn't in the Nordica this game. I had an invitation to join the Ohio Health folks. Hashtag Holy Healthy.
Were you smoking cigarettes in their suite?
I thought about it. that would have been epic. And so I was on the south end of the stadium in Justin's favorite section, the party on the pitch. And I will say that although the view of the game from that angle is much better suited to business meetings and sales discussions than watching soccer, the Nordica sounded fabulous from way down there below the south goal. The Nordica brought it with whatever renewed intensity there was. And for 90 minutes, it was loud and proud and raucous.
Do you know why?
Enthusiasm?
I was in the front row.
Oh, okay.
For the first time in like
2 years.
There were a lot of...
It's just me.
And I was.
Right.
There were a lot of people in the front row. I don't want to take the credit, but...
And though the Nordica...
I'm not saying at all that it was me. I was kidding. But
no, I know,
there were
I know.
A lot of people in the front row, especially of HSH, that were
that are
more OG people that... kind of got all the youngins to snap in a line.
Yeah, and it wasn't just, I mean, yes, the Nordica was loud and proud and raucous and all that, but it wasn't just the Nordica. I think Sam's going to speak to this point. The entire stadium was actually involved in the soccer game.
Mm. How many
for
games?
For the first time that I can remember.
How many games have we had 19,000 plus attendance for in a row?
Yeah,
at this point, because it's like four at this point,
yeah.
I think.
I don't think they had one for the New England game.
Well, okay, so let's say over 17K.
Yeah.
It's like four games in a row now that we've had that we've pushed 20.
Yeah, you know what was it was really interesting when the penalty kick came along, and I was in the corner of the goal, like right behind the net, and I looked up. And all I could see is all these people standing and waving towels. And I'm like, and the Nordic was behind me, so I knew I obviously wasn't disoriented. And I'm looking around going, I haven't seen this since Chicago in 08.
Yeah.
But there's something to be said about when your new owner decides to pull a Frankie Hajduk and jumps in the front row of the Nordica.
Right.
So I think they wanted to, show him what they really do. How's that?
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely a good show for the new owner. Everybody's blood was pumping. But I don't think that it was just that. The fact that Anthony Precourt was in the front row, I think everybody was psyched for this game. It seems like the stars aligned and everything just kind of went right from the time that the opening whistle blew.
I think that's right.
Yeah.
I had a feeling after the game in Houston, I had a feeling that's exactly what was going to happen because what do you have to lose anymore?
Exactly.
And when the shoes came out of the stands.
Oh, God.
I mean, look,
shoes, singular. Shoe.
Well, what happened, for those of you who didn't see it, a shoe came flying out of the Nordica during the run of play, and that's inexcusable, right? You shouldn't throw. You shouldn't
Who throws a shoe?
You shouldn't throw objects
you guys
on the
don't
field.
Know who it was?
Yeah, we know.
No, okay.
We're well aware. We were referencing a movie.
Okay.
But the
most people have seen
you shouldn't throw objects on the field. But the thing is that what that I'm going to have a caveat to don't
Go
throw
for
things
it.
On the field. But what that did was that embodied that spirit that Sam's talking about that I haven't felt since 2008.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Where it's possible that something might come out of the Nordeca that might not be a chance.
Well, and also,
So then streamers came out too.
Right.
A few streamers. And if that happens again, did you see that? We're about to be visited by Mr. Morgan Hughes, I think.
Oh, God.
He just walked by and stuck his tongue out.
He's about to make it.
Here we are trying to make a serious point.
Yeah.
There's Morgan Hughes.
But, it embodies a feeling that I haven't felt since 2008. And a lot of that has to do, I think, with the new ownership. But a lot of that has to do with the fact that we were playing New York and, you know, people were there to see Thierry Henry. Thierry Henry didn't show up.
That's why I came.
That's
why Dan flew in from England.
And so, you know, rolling this back to the game a little bit, I mean, the fact that the Crew sort of took command of that game early.
Yeah.
And, you know, at least we're fighting early. I think that made a big, big difference with the team, with the fans. I mean,
the one thing noticeable, and I haven't seen this in a while, but I literally just for because I had a feeling it was going to end up on the field if I didn't, I did have to hand over a section of seating to a stadium official because it had been completely ripped out by someone else.
Oh, really?
During the game, not in the sense there was nobody sitting there jumping.
It wasn't like Toronto fans.
It wasn't somebody sitting there with a ratchet and all that sort of stuff. But it had just gotten to the point where it was they were jumping up and down on it so hard that it got broken. And then they just kind of crap, and then pulled it up. And then I'm like, "Here, let me take that for you." And I just walked over, and I know one of the ushers in the front, and I'm like, "Will you take this so this doesn't end up getting chucked at someone's head?"
So Johnny Steele doesn't get actually steeled.
Yeah,
yeah.
So it was, you know, but that sort of stuff happened 2008. That sort of stuff happened 2009, and it's. I don't know. It may be the social club getting broken up a bit.
No.
It may be more people.
I think a little bit
attention.
Of that is. I think a little bit of that happened. I think we went. A few of us. I'm not going to say who went down to the front of the corner with that intention of not letting the Instagram posse take over the front row. And we did have a good job of it over the first 20 minutes.
Is that
of the
IGP?
Game.
Yes.
Instagram posse?
Yeah, the IGP.
I did catch a few culprits on their phones.
Yes.
Yes. So, yeah. But no, what was... now I lost my train of thought.
It's okay. It happens to the best of us.
Because I thought about that.
Well,
okay,
can I say that... Like,
I'll come back to it later.
You brought up Johnny Steele, and, you know, this is... Johnny Steele is one of Larry and I... We have this sort of agreement about, like, Johnny Steele. I think he's probably the most underrated player in MLS.
Yeah.
And he didn't really have a terrific match in this game. And I think a lot of that had to do with Will Trapp in a real way. I don't know. What are your...
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he has... being his number one fan or number two fan, he has up
well,
and down.
He's your favorite Mortal Kombat character. I understand that.
He's also got sick tats, bro.
Yeah, he does.
He's been all over the place playing for the... You know, I fall in love with those kind of players. Like, every year they're bouncing around USL, NASL, stuff like that. And he's found himself with New York. He's having an outstanding season. But one of the reasons he might bounce around is because... He has like a mental thing where some games he's completely into it, and then other games he's just not.
Right.
And the Crew game, he was not into it in the first half, just not. And I think a lot of that has to do with who he's playing against. Mm-hmm. And he gets really frustrated and down.
Meth's a hell of a drug, man.
Whatever he's on, but he sort of picked it up in the second half.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But in the first half, he just wasn't himself. Somebody was frustrating him. Whether it was his teammates or whether it was Will Trapp or something like that. But he got opportunities, and eventually he was pulled. But if Mike Pecky was coaching that, he might have pulled him at halftime because he had done that before.
Yeah.
Where it's like, okay, Johnny's having one of his episodes, so we're we're taking him out.
It's just Johnny being Johnny.
Oh. All right, so we're going to come back here in just a little bit. We're going to talk about quite a bit. Rebrand... the majority of us got a chance to meet Mr. Anthony Precourt. We're going to talk about that. It's all coming up next. It's the Massive Report. With your hands on your head or on the trigger of your gun, when the law breaks in, how you gonna go? Shut down.
down on the pavement or waiting on death row. You can crush us, you can bruise us, but you'll have to answer too. Oh.
Back, it's segment number two of the Massive Report. Sam totally still doesn't have my microphone on. Dude, seriously. I know I'm the one on vacation. I've been drinking a lot, but, you know, whatever. I mean, come on, buddy. I'm just kidding. He's going to punch me during the second segment break. I know, Noel, yeah, that's a good point. Sam actually didn't have Chinese food today, also drinking a Red's Apple Ale.
Which...
But wouldn't do no, a shot of tequila mind. With me before the show.
You offered him a shot, but you offered me a shot.
You offered me a shot. Friday.
Matt, I'm just
well, we're
going to
we're totally doing a shot of tequila.
Bring it on, big boy.
During whoa.
Oh.
Whoa.
Are the kids out of town or are they at a sitter?
No, but they're getting ready to start school.
Fair. Abby, fair. I apologize in advance cuz we're sending your husband home drunk tonight. Just so you know.
I'm just kidding.
Did you hear what the Fahmy kid's dad said on the air?
He said alcohol. So Anthony Precourt, speaking of drinking, was here on Friday night.
Oh my God, was he drinking?
Wow, that was good times.
Yeah.
That was damn good times.
I mean, seriously, the guy turned a scheduled 45 to 50 minute meet and greet into, well, I don't know how long he was here because I left at about 9.
Yeah.
He was here for 3 hours.
He was here for 3 hours. So he didn't even make the color run?
No,
the glow run. I'm sorry, the glow run, not the color run.
Yeah, no,
run.
I left at about 9, and he was still
was
going
strong.
That was
like the big, important corporate
right.
thing
he needed
that he
to
had
be there.
To get to.
Right.
And, like, I remember, wow.
Yeah, it was impressive.
I had to explain, now he knows not to park in the strip mall across the street.
Yes.
Because I did have to run out there and go, dude, your car's going to get towed. Larry had this problem.
So I did help Anthony Precourt avoid a similar fate that you had, Larry.
Life pro tip, if you come to a Mass Report podcast, go against all logic and reason and park in the funeral home parking lot and not the strip mall across the street.
Right. Here's the reasoning behind that. The funeral home owner also owns the building that Hendox is in and is perfectly fine with people patronizing the people that he collects rent from.
Right.
However, the people across the street that own North
Everything
Campus
else.
Food Mart or whatever, no, they just like getting cars towed because they get money from the tow truck people because they're jerks and I hate them all.
This would be a really good opportunity to plug the funeral home.
We should.
Does anybody remember what it's called?
It's Rutherford Funeral Home.
Is it Rutherford?
Those guys are awesome.
Yeah.
No, those guys are sweet. Because
for all your funeral home needs.
I have an announcement to make that Rutherford
wait,
Funeral
wait,
Home.
They are the embalm.
Rutherford Funeral Home is actually helping HSH
like
out
that.
With something.
Hashtag all of the embalming.
Hashtag all of the embalming. So,
we're going to. Like this season?
We're going to embalm.
Oh.
Whoa.
Oh.
Hello. We're actually going to embalm Bidmead live on the air next week. It's going to be fantastic. No.
It's pretty good.
It's a big announcement. And in radio, we call this a tease because I'm only going to talk about it during the fourth segment.
Little inside baseball there.
Yeah. No, I do what I can. So, fourth segment coming up, big HSH news. It involves a funeral home. That's all.
Now you have to listen. Now you have to listen.
Oh,
so
that was
Precourt.
The worst tease ever.
Let's go back.
You really rehearsed that.
Anthony Precourt.
Once again, Precourt. We really have
you
no
didn't
idea
get
how to
that.
Do a podcast after a win.
No,
we
really don't.
We really don't. This all is right. like Calvin Ball.
I should be yelling by now.
So what do you want to talk about?
And I don't have a voice because Saturday I lost my voice.
So anyway. Anthony Precourt
Anthony
showed
Precourt,
up.
Yeah, so Chris, talk about this because you've wanted to.
No, I really don't because I didn't talk to the guy. I asked him if he's going to buy a car when he comes to Columbus because he's going to establish residency in a town like Columbus, you need a car. And the guy's a millionaire, and I want to see how a millionaire buys a car.
Yeah.
That's makes sense. That, I want to see, does he walk onto the lot at Mag and point at a Benz and say, do you take a check? Or does Mag bring him cars and he just writes
swipe
the check
a car,
there?
A briefcase full of cash.
Right,
with
a briefcase for the cash.
Does he have a briefcase full of cash handcuffed to a lackey behind him?
Yeah, no, that's
I want to see how that happens.
Would it be handcuffed to Vosia?
No, we don't let Robert near
no
the money.
No cash attached towards the end.
You know, he didn't really come across as the kind of guy who has lackeys, though.
Yeah, he does.
Well, he's got Dave Greeley from Chicago.
Well, he didn't even...
I think Precourt was driving the car. I don't think Greeley was.
Precourt does look like the kind of guy that drives the car.
More no,
he's
traffic.
More of a...
He was stuck
he
in
was
traffic,
the
yes.
Stuck in traffic.
Dave Greeley kind of came across as a as like an advisor who's there to do business.
Yeah, yeah. He's a consigliere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was really impressive. It was. The whole experience here at Hen Docks that night.
Yeah, you were here too. You actually talked to the guy about important things. I just asked him stupid stuff and drank his beers.
I talked to him for about maybe 60 seconds.
Yeah.
Because there was a lot of people who were really asking
psyched.
Him questions and talking to him, and I didn't want to get in the way of that. But, you know, when I introduced myself to him, I said, "Hi, my name's Justin," and he said, "Hi, I'm Anthony." Mm-hmm. And he has a good handshake, and he looks you in the eye when he shakes your hand, and I thought that was really... He smiles, you know, he's a
The thing that
he's
struck
a person.
Me, yeah, exactly. The thing that struck it's me the most thing. About him was throughout his apparent 3-hour bender here at Hen Docks on Friday night.
You know, you're making him sound like he just came here. He's like, "Hey guys, let's get the drink on."
Yeah. No.
Give me a fireball.
No, Frankie said that.
He did show up in our order bottle service, so there's that.
Mm-hmm. No, the guy asked a lot of questions and he listened.
Yep. Yeah.
He didn't come in and say, "So this is what I'm going to do, and this is what I'm going to do." And he also didn't come in and say, "Let's talk about baseball and not soccer."
No.
He asked a lot of questions. He asked a lot of fans what they want to see. He asked a lot of people, "Well, if you had two wishes within reason, what would they be?" He asked a lot of people about... if you were running the team or if you were coaching the team, he asked a lot of good questions, and then he shut up and listened.
Mm-hmm. I answered a pony and that bottle of scotch. That's what I answered for my two wishes.
Well, you know who else was? Dave Greeley was here for the entire time.
Yep.
And Mark McCullers was here for the entire time.
Mike Malo was here the entire
time.
Well, no, Malo
he
left
was here
about
for a
5 minutes
while.
Before I did. Yeah.
There was some other guys from the front office and the staff who were here.
Yep.
And they were very engaging, but for the most part, it was the owner. It was the new guy, and he was.
Did we give a shout out to Tom Bowden for being
Tom
here?
Bowden
yeah,
was
Tom
here.
Bowden.
Cody know, Sherritt was here too.
You know who was a glaring absence from the goings on at Hen Docks on Friday night? Is the crew PR staff was not here.
Right.
There were no media handlers here. There was nobody here standing behind him saying, no, don't talk about that.
Yeah.
There was nobody making sure that he didn't get mobbed by. The wacko crew fans.
That's why I was allowed to have a conversation with Mark McCullers for more than 4 minutes without being tackled by someone.
I did try, but it was unsuccessful.
Oh, no, I had a very nice conversation
with
Mark.
And
I had a very
did.
Nice conversation with Mark.
The thing that kind of riled some feathers amongst those who weren't here on Friday night was that there was some soccer talked about, and there was some crew soccer talked about, and there were some issues discussed, and there was a little bit of airing of grievances. But mainly, we just stood around and drank, and that's great.
Got to know each other.
And that's a great thing to do.
Yeah.
I have a quick question for somebody who wasn't here.
Yeah.
That thinks an owner shouldn't be drinking with all of his fans.
No, fair enough.
Was the rest of his investment group here?
No.
No.
Who are the rest of his
That's the great question that eventually will get asked. I would say that the rest of his investment group are silent,
right now
purposely
seems like it's
silent
just him.
Partners. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely a figurehead.
Is he a figurehead or is he it?
I think he's my personal, without any knowledge of the situation, my gut feeling is that he is Precourt Sports Ventures.
His name is on the door.
Yeah.
That's the way I look at it. I mean, I really think that he wants to come in here and be a Rob Heineman, Merritt Paulson kind of figure.
Right.
But they had a lot of people behind them.
They did.
Right. Mm-hmm. But
they are the guys who, when you come across an announcement or something that SKC or Portland is going to do, they're always the guys who are like, they're the ones who are defending
who are
it.
Yeah.
And they're, you get the sense that they have actual...
I mean,
power over what's going on.
Right.
Larry, I think
can
he
you
has
name
that
the other four guys that are part of Sporting Group.
No, but they're listed on their website.
They are listed on the website.
Correct.
Yeah,
each one has a giant body.
Now, granted, Sporting Group does have a website. I don't think Precourt Sports Ventures has a website yet. I know they don't have a wiki entry.
They do.
Right.
They
so
do have
new.
One.
Do they?
This is
yeah.
so
do
you
have
new,
a website?
I don't think they have. Like he actually, he doesn't have any PR staff. He does.
Yeah.
He has no staff in Columbus whatsoever.
Right.
Except for basically Alex's.
Yeah.
The one who's fielding all the requests, but otherwise he has zero staff right now when it comes to the crew side of business. Now,
And
his regular business, that obviously...
Yeah,
well, I'm just wondering who else is helping him with the transition into his ownership.
Yeah,
if
right
it's just him?
Right now he's just...
I think it's just him and Dave Greeley.
He's not here next week for the Toronto game, but he'll be here like the following weeks or something like that. Because he's zero staff.
I mean, because if it's just him, I mean, that's a little bit. I mean, that's really unique to what's going on in Major League Soccer these days. I mean, Merritt Paulson and Sporting Kansas City, they had this, you know, group of people behind them. They had a community behind them, basically.
Right. Yeah.
And all I've seen is Precourt. I mean, he's been.
And I think he took one of Matt's suggestions to heart. And he kissed a lot of hands and shook a lot of babies. after the coin toss, he went out and he went around the stadium, like high-fiving people, shaking hands.
Yeah, him and Frankie went out.
Yeah. Kids. He was jumping up and high-fiving people on the stage, which actually got me a little worried that he was going to hurt himself because he was following Frankie's lead.
Oh God!
That's never a good thing to do.
He jumped into the Norideca. He grabbed and climbed. He didn't tell anybody. He just did it.
Was he detained by CSC for the entire first half after that?
He's
got a stadium
button.
Stadium. He actually has a stadium button now, so that's a bit of a shame. He gets a letter
today. No, but CSC did ask to see his badge twice, once on the way in and once on the way out.
This is the kind of idiots that we're dealing with in CSC.
Well, the one thing that was
noticeable... article coming out later this week.
Anyway, of course you do.
One thing that was noticeable, too, during that whole thing when he was greeting the people in the front rows was that he recognized people. Mm. I mean, I heard him do it. He did it to me, for crying out loud. He said, "Hey, you're the guy with the sticker." I was like, "Yeah, that's me."
And he pointed Tony out.
Tony Galifo. I mean,
But
he did that with a lot of people.
He did.
I thought that was impressive too. I mean, you could tell he was here to meet the fans and to understand what the city's about a little bit, to get his foot in the door.
Can we Men in Black flashy thing his experience with Tony Galifo?
No.
Is that possible?
No, I want him to remember that for the rest of his life so that he knows what not to do.
We should play him the piece from Tony when he was on our podcast.
That's true.
So that'll get his blood pumping.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I completely agree. So I want to shift gears a little bit here because one of the things that Precourt had talked about doesn't want to change the colors, doesn't want to change the name,
right?
But apparently is going to look at the crest, and we kind of have our resident expert here. What's up, Gabe? How you doing, man?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm going to move the microphone a little bit closer to you because I speak very loudly.
He does.
Yeah, I do. It's what I do.
He's a projector.
So this was, what year was it that you did the started that whole rebrand conversation and discussion?
It was right after the Cup win.
Okay.
It was, you know, there was so much attention to Columbus at that point, and I became really self-conscious about the way that the team is branded, and I went into it thinking, you know, no one's going to pay attention to this, so why not pretend like it's a real thing?
And what happened?
And then reality hit.
And what did you learn, sir?
So here's the deal. I labeled it as a proposal, even though it actually wasn't. A friend convinced me to post it to Big Soccer. I was not a frequenter of Big Soccer.
The International Consortium of Soccer Experts.
Yeah, that's how I got set up in the beginning. And it absolutely just eviscerated. And I learned so much about supporter culture just from the way that they tore me apart.
Yeah.
And, you know, it told me a lot about the brand and how
I apologize for all the mean things about you.
I'm still getting over it.
You're not a real crew fan.
I don't think I actually said anything like mean. I don't remember now. I'm going to have to go back and look and send you a
formal
apology.
You're not a real crew fan until Bill Archer tears you a new one. And then you're in.
Yeah.
I don't even know the names. I mean, there are so many of them, it could have been any of you.
My name was definitely not Chris Lamacchia 576.
That was definitely not.
No.
No.
Well, to that extent, and Justin's our resident graphics guy that knows a lot more about art than I do, so go ahead.
We should explain what happened. I mean, you created what was there. You took the history of the team and you took all this into consideration and you put together an actual. I think this is the thing that made people upset was that it looked like it was an actual professional thing. I mean, it looked like a possibility. Right. And it's one of the things that I loved about it was that we had somebody who was putting some freaking thought into this.
Right. Well,
and we could describe it. We could describe it a little bit if you want to.
Yeah, I think the thing that kind of bugged me as I became a professional designer and a crew fan, you know, since the beginning. There are details, technical details about the logo that could be a lot better. And as I learned more about typography and illustrating things, you know, it really started to bug me. So that exercise was really just to take the things that I saw as technical problems and you know, polish them off and, you know, not changing the concept at all. The thing that I did and a couple of other people contributed to, it wasn't a departure from the concept. It's still three guys in hard hats and the word crew at the top. No, I mean,
it just looked much better.
Thank you. Some people disagreed, but
yeah,
I think that in the end, I regret, you know, putting it together as though it's a proposal, because to really solve a problem like updating a brand, especially something that people are this passionate about, you can't walk into it as an outsider and pretend like you have all the answers. You have to talk to people. You have to understand the culture. You have to, you have to do your research.
Right.
So do you think that's what Anthony Precourt's doing right now?
I don't know. I hope so. I mean, yeah. I've been involved with clients who see design as an exercise of, you know, decorating things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And other clients who regard design as a way to solve problems, business problems, to tap into culture, those kinds of things. So I hope that he's talking to professionals that can handle problems like this. And I use problem as like a math problem.
Yeah, it's not something. It's an opportunity.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, that's what we use in the marketing world. Anything that's a problem is really not.
It's an opportunity, yeah.
Oh, yeah. But that, I mean, when we go back to the reaction, that was the thing that it was startling to me, because I saw what we're doing as a like a first step in a discussion.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, then, you know, we see it though, the what you did crop up at these weird moments over the course of the last 5 years. Didn't I don't know Fox how much you want to talk about this.
Yeah, didn't Fox Sports use it like last week?
Yeah, so the Houston away game, they did a montage in the beginning. I don't even know the content of the montage because I was so like
focused on your artwork
out.
On TV, right?
Right.
Away games, I let my 4-year-old watch the game with me. We're sitting on the couch and I pause it. He's like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "You wouldn't understand, but this is crazy." So they took an earlier version, and this is what happens when people who don't understand the content of their program and use Google Images to fill up their montage. They used an earlier version of the logo that we did way back in 2008 and threw it as an overlay on the montage and
on the screen. I felt like
I felt like because it was, you know, in the same time frame as Precourt talking about the thing that he wants to address with the crest. So for better or worse, I talked about it on Twitter.
How much was your check from Fox Sports Ohio, if you don't mind me asking?
$0.
Just for fun.
So you don't have representation is what you're saying.
Right. Well,
I'm going to use it as our cover art for this week's podcast.
Fantastic. Do it.
You're allowed
to
do that. That's the thing. Like, I don't own the intellectual property of this brand. The name, the crew, you can't just do whatever you want with it. It was just an experiment that I did. And because of the exposure they got, it ends up on Google.
Hunt Sports Group begs to differ.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that you did, too, which is something that's bugged me for years, is the fact that...
Oh, we're going to have a graphic artist throw... No. A graphic designer throw...
No. It's the fact that the crew is one of the remaining clubs that doesn't have Columbus in their crest. And you put that in there.
Mm-hmm.
You replaced the basically, right. with Columbus. And I'm hoping that that's something that they take into consideration with the next iteration of the brand. And then another thing, too, that you did was you really played up the gray, I would say, which has always been kind of the third unused color in the crew crest.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that I thought was going to happen even before Anthony Precourt bought the team was that the crew were going to have to update. And, you know, you get into, like, the details, like, using copper plate, like you said, on a curve, which is just completely bizarre. But, you know, that... that it was going to have to update, and I still think that they're going to have to add another color, or something's going to have to change so that they can make this more saleable, not just on television or in ads, but like in terms of merchandise. And do you see something like that happening?
I'm okay with the color scheme. I think that we totally own yellow in the league.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was RSL that had a third kit that was yellow. I wanted
Victory
to ring
Gold
their necks.
Or whatever it was.
Seattle had their thing. Highlighter.
It was kind of like, how dare
My
you?
My eyes hurt.
Right.
Kid.
Right.
Yeah. And I think that's what we're known for. You mentioned it on television. If you see an MLS game and there's a yellow kit head to toe, you know that's the crew.
Yeah.
And that kind of gives you a little license in the crest, how to use color. You're represented 360 degrees around the crest with yellow. Mm-hmm. So can you explore using gray in a bigger way, or white or black? Yes. I think expanding the palette is going to open up more branding expenses. Mm. The stadium is completely black and yellow.
Right.
If you introduce red or something. Somebody mentioned on Twitter a couple weeks ago a scarlet and gray third kit.
It was probably me.
No, kill it with fire.
If you do something like that, possible. I mean, it becomes part of your brand and you need to represent it. So,
I was going to ask Larry to weigh in on this too, because his background is... is in this too, and I didn't know what you.
And I don't think modern sports branding. I don't think you have to replace. I think you can add to, and you know, I don't. You know, the Crew Shield is really unique in that it's lasted this long, and I think it can last for as long as they want it to. But it doesn't mean they always have to use it. They can create something different if they want it to be Columbus 96 or something like that. Create another badge. Mm. You know, I think the concept of replacing your brand is a, you know, with something new and throwing away what is old is it's gone. I mean, it's something like Windows does, like
you know, something sports, you know, Sporting Kansas City
unless
does.
You're the Wizard.
Wizards.
Unless you finish last place in attendance every single year except for four until you rebranded.
Yeah, I mean,
then,
you know, whatever. Burning down your history is, especially in sports, is something that probably should be avoided.
Yeah.
You know,
unless you're the Washington Redskins.
Well, the Washington Redskins.
Florida State Seminole.
Well, if you want to look at one of the worst rebrandings in history is the Washington Wizards, and I lived through that, you know, as a younger person.
And that was based
in my design days, I lived through that, and it was awful.
That was based on the fact that it was previously the Bullets, am I correct?
Yeah.
All they had to do was change the logo to a train, and they would have been fine.
Yeah, they overreacted, and that's, you never want to do that.
The Houston Astros did the same thing with the Colt 45s.
Yeah.
And one thing about, like, well, Dan, I think you're going to...
I know there's absolutely no time, but the one thing I would say is the logo. I know, like, it needs updating, obviously, but one of the things in England that sells the Crew to people, whenever I walk around England with a Crew jersey on, people go to me, oh my god, that's Columbus Crew, isn't it? Oh, I played on them as FIFA.
Well,
because of their badge.
Even outside.
Because
of
their
Columbus,
badge, basically.
Yeah, you know?
Because you see it and go, ah, oh, it's the best badge on FIFA. I just picked them because of their badge. Like,
on Wikipedia, the only team associated with construction in the world is the Columbus Crew.
Yeah.
With, like, the theme of construction is the Columbus Crew.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think whatever you do, and I agree it doesn't updating, it's a touch. But then again, American sports aren't exactly synonymous with good logos.
Is that why it takes
welcome to clip art.
Is that why it gets so long takes so long to get out of the parking lot, Sam?
What?
Because we're the only team associated with construction.
We are also in Ohio. It's a double whammy.
How about an orange barrel for our new car?
All right, it's a good discussion. We'll maybe
right
continue
now.
A little bit of it in the third segment. That's coming up next. And Sam played the outro music for the intro. Gosh, because we're going to talk about letters getting lost. That's coming up in the next segment. It's the Massive Report. Sam's drunk.
Some postman is grooving to all our love letters. Some postman is going to cry. Some postman is grooving to all our love letters. Some postman is going to cry.
And we're back on the Massive Report. How you doing? Segment number 3.
You see how I did that there?
I totally did that to just bleep out the swearing.
Well done.
That was pretty awesome.
Well, Matt's done. A trained for radio professional.
I am a parade-little radio guy.
Parade-little radio guy.
So no, going out of the last segment, this kind of set up what I was thinking here for just a second, what I wanted to talk about for just a half a second, but... What are you doing?
I'm
Justin?
Looking at the, you know, I like the MLS Live
feature. Yeah.
but it's wrong so many times.
Yeah.
Like, I'm looking at this, and if you were to look at this right now, you'd be like, hey, DC United beat the Fire 2-0.
Yeah, in the Open Cup?
That didn't happen.
What was the final of that?
I believe it was 2-0 the other way, wasn't it?
No, DC beat the Fire.
Is that true?
Yeah, in the Open Cup, DC and Salt Lake are the two teams in the
final.
I didn't realize
the
Astros
were wrong more than you.
I wasn't 100% sure of the score, but I know that DC did beat the Fire.
So wait, they're putting the Open Cup thing on the MLS website?
Yeah. Well,
okay, that raises a question.
Well, because Sporting Kansas City did not play Real Estate or whatever it
that's
is.
That's the Champions League.
Yeah. No, I know.
Which is completely different.
I know. Don't hit me.
You know, I gotta let me put out a request,
and then we'll get to what I'm going to. Go ahead.
We'll get to your thing.
You know, the director of MLS Digital will be
here.
That would be great. Why the heck Why isn't there a network for US Open Cup? Why?
There is. It's opencup.tv. Yeah. It's on the interwebs.
You can't. You can't watch the entire.
No, you really can't.
Yeah, no, you can't. You can't, and people would pay money for it.
Yeah, totally.
People like Danny Bidney.
We could make some money on this.
Who would pay money just for MLS Live, but he can't get it because he lives outside of North America.
Hashtag MLS Live to Europe.
Hashtag MLS Live to Europe.
But we should do this.
Because we can't do anything. How much is
Let's
that
start it.
If you go on holiday, you try and watch an MLS game, but you can't watch it.
Who
not
goes
legally.
On
anyway.
I go on vacation. What are you
talking
about?
Vacation. Apologies. Go on vacation. yeah, that's...
Touche.
I mean... like water. that's the thing is I would, and everyone in England would, well, not everyone in England.
Everyone in England.
Because not that many.
The Royal Baby
care.
Would buy
the Royal
buy
Baby.
Subscription. Yeah.
Well, he's got nothing else to do. He's going to live his life.
You helped name him, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. No, they actually came to me and went, Dan, come on.
Right.
And I went, Lizzie.
Because you know the
leave
queen.
Leave this to me.
Right.
To steal a joke that I just showed Dan from the soup, the Royal Baby came out at 6 pounds, 10 ounces, or in metric, 2 kilometers, 15 liters, and a bunch of up teeth.
Jeez. He censored himself.
He did. It was beautiful.
Dan, do me a favor. Take a sip of that beer before you spill it all over Matt.
Yeah.
I mean, not that that wouldn't be hilarious.
So what I'm saying is, we should start a Kickstarter to U.S. Open Cup.
Actually, you know what?
U.S. Open Cup Network.
Not to steal your thunder, but you know, you said Kickstarter, and that got my brain running. And MLS Digital has this amazing thing called Kick TV, and Jimmy Conrad is doing wonders with it. They should just air those games on Kick TV.
They should. The problem is that the majority of games are going to look like they were filmed through wax paper. Because you're basically
the majority
point,
of those games look like they're played on wax paper.
Yeah, no, that's fair. That's fair.
Yeah.
You have a whole thing, and I would love nothing more than to see all of the games that are in the round of 64 proper, or whatever we want to call them. All of those
Charleston
going
take
forward.
On Pittsburgh.
I would love to be able to watch those games. The thing is, and the problem that you have with that is that you're relying on incredibly minor league teams.
Mm-hmm.
To put together video packages that they may not be able to afford to do.
Yeah, but those incredibly minor league teams.
The technology's there.
Over
the past couple of years, they've proved. And I think with Justin's talking, you know, Major League Soccer, I don't know if they so much want that, though. I mean, I'm not trying to be a conspiracy theorist here, but I think Major League Soccer wants to be winning this tournament. They want to be the primary focus of soccer in this country.
Yeah.
And so, you know, showing U.S. Open Cup games, that you know, people start asking questions. So wait, who is the Rochester?
Orlando.
They're nobody until they join Major League Soccer. But there is a rich soccer
history
and environment.
That's an English word, not an American word. Just so you know,
soccer.
No, history.
Oh.
Soccer.
But no, I see what you're saying.
It's out there, but Major League Soccer wants to control it. And starting up something that's U.S. Open Cup based would be like Major League Soccer wouldn't control
it. I'm sure Don Garber would throw around terms like devaluing the product and creating confusion.
Exactly.
What we'd have to do is we tell them they're creating new memories.
New memories. New memories.
You know what you say
to
that? You say devalue on this.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense.
We call up the Barter Kings. And we have Don Garber. We figure out what Don Garber wants to get the rights to broadcast the U.S. Open Cup, and then with the Barter Kings, we're good to go.
Do you know what we do?
By the way, Mike Goff's on this segment. I totally forgot to announce.
Before we get to that,
here.
Like,
hi,
Morgan Hughes. Morgan Hughes has had
you
a good
are book. Listening to the sound of my voice.
That's awesome.
It's a little shout out to Simpsons. Yeah. All right, go to Google, look it up. Just Al Gore, Simpsons. You're gonna funny.
But but like that's what we should do for the U.S. Open Cup is get Morgan Hughes' idea, which is you add wars to anything and it'll go as a reality TV show.
Open Cup wars.
Yes.
A&E U.S. Open Cup would totally broadcast it.
They would broadcast the whole thing. Open Cup wars.
Here comes U.S. Open Cup
wars.
I was thinking Honey Boo Boo, but that works too.
I
think HGTV is going to get in on that, man. They're going to go hard.
I hate my U.S. Open Cup.
Absolutely.
So much cash.
No, but you were saying about obviously that teams can't put the packages together and stuff to supply the video stuff. Isn't that the channel's responsibility? Because in England, like Sky Sports, they'll do games in lower leagues and stuff. Obviously, the lower
leagues. But Sky Sports only has to drive 10 minutes.
No.
To get anywhere in the country.
How many countries? That's a really good point, though. Like, that's a really good point because we're sitting here, like, we're on the eve of a new television contract in Major League Soccer.
Ooh.
And the way that it's done here is, I'm curious how it's handled in Brett.
Because we basically run on freelancers. Yeah. You send. And that's a load of freelancers to go and film the game that you want filmed, and it's covered and it's done, and then they go back to film
somewhere else. The Dayton game, it was just a couple of people that were there just freelancing, filming the game. And the technology, you know, to stream it doesn't take a whole lot.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Isn't that the channel's fault, not the...
Correct.
Isn't that channel's responsibility? If you have a channel for it, then...
There's two things. One, if the channel's not required to cover it per contract... they probably won't because they don't care. Two, there's probably more gear in this room right now than a lot of minor league soccer
but the clubs aren't the ones that should be having the gear, isn't it? You get freelancers.
The Columbus Crew doesn't own any TV equipment. They hire Fox Sports Ohio, who hires freelancers.
Yeah, exactly. There's people around the areas, I would suggest.
We can't even send our own cameras to away games at this point, or our own television announcers to away games at this point.
But that's a decision.
Or radio announcers.
Yeah.
Well, we've thought about, actually, remember preseason last year? I think we thought about going down.
Yeah.
And we're like, we can actually do a better feed of these games
than
what they were doing.
Nate Beckman 2 years ago. Yeah, it was, was it 2009?
The Ustream debacle?
Yes, Ustream.
It was amazingly good because it was the only way I was going to get to see that match. Continue.
No, you're right. He sat on the sideline and Ustreamed the preseason. Yeah. And there was probably, I don't know, there were several people, I would say maybe more than hundreds, who were sitting there watching Nate Beckman's Ustream. Like, that to me, that shows the demand for something like that, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, by the way, I'm going to plug him here. At Forecast Nate. Follow him on Twitter. He's a good follow.
Yeah.
He likes things that are great.
So he also writes for us.
He does also write for Massive Report. That's www.massivereport.com. Who doesn't know the WWE thing now? Like,
well,
honestly,
welcome to radio.
Weird saying it, but like, if I don't, I know that there's like
there's
my
one old guy
to this and be confused.
There's one old guy who's been locked in his bathroom for a week with only a laptop, and he's gonna be like, I don't know where to put the W's.
Well, no, he does because he still goes to www.bigsoccer.com.
Yeah.
Oh. Do we want to open this up?
I want to get on one thing first because I did have a topic.
Oh yeah, I'm sorry.
It was just a small topic.
You were going somewhere when
I got a letter in the mail 2 days ago.
From the stadium?
What's
teaser.
That? I am getting banned from the stadium.
No, that was pre-court stadium.
No, that was just no. So I got a letter in the mail 2 days ago, along with copies of magazines that my girlfriend subscribed to from December, March, and May,
and a handwritten
letter from
me.
And about 10 utility bills.
Did you get wrapped up in that?
I totally got wrapped up in that. There was a postman or whatever it is,
mail carrier,
that
courier,
post officer,
that
courier
that lived just south of Awesome Town, who decided that he was going to steal 13,000 pieces of mail.
I don't think it was that he decided he was going
to
steal them.
I think he just didn't want to do it.
Yeah, no.
And I know it wasn't our regular mail carrier because our regular mail carrier was there on Saturday and we had a good joke about it.
Yeah.
But here's my question. Is there going to be an apology letter from the postmaster sent along with a letter that was postmarked for, I don't know, about May to Robert Warzyha at the stadium? Saying, by the way, Bobby, we don't need you to show up for the next game.
He's just been working for free for the last 6 months.
How long have you been sitting on that joke?
What's that?
How long have you been sitting on that joke?
Since I got the letter from the post office.
So about a week.
Yeah,
it was
so
worth it.
No, no. Are we going to get into the international consortium?
No, there's nothing to get into. They, I love them with all of my heart and soul. Because
no, you don't.
No, because
I don't.
Big soccer,
like us English people.
Big soccer is a great place for crew fans to go and exchange ideas and opinions and talk
and
to one
never
another.
Never act on them.
And call each other names and I'm not going to get into it. It's just it's petty and it's childish. And I'm sorry that I didn't ask Anthony Precourt when he's going to fire Robert Rozier.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I think isn't that kind of a given? Yeah. Isn't that
a good surrounded by strangers conversation to have with a guy you just met.
Yeah. 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 And Mr. Precourt, are you planning on breathing and eating food tomorrow?
Yeah,
exactly. Yes, I am.
We're not going to get into
that. That's about it.
See, I've
as Gabe can attest, Big Soccer is one of those places where you go and you hold your life in your own hands when you go there. And you just go, you talk about the crew, and you take your lumps when they come. And
I should have bought Gabe a shot during the lunch break. I really should have. Justin, get on that.
It's not even worth discussing. We've spent too much time on it.
You can post something completely what you believe to be innocuous.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you're a Nazi.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's the way that it comes out.
Technically, you're a fascist.
You're not a good enough crew fan.
Right. Yeah. The realist crew. That's real IST, realist crew fan. Yeah.
Do you know what got me on it with that? Because I remember because obviously I do MLS UK. www.ukmlssoccer.com. Just doing the promo thing as well. And we obviously when we 3 years ago now probably we did one of our first podcasts and it was posted on Big Soccer.
Right.
And of course, and basically every single thing that came back on Big Soccer was, oh my god, what are these limeys doing talking about soccer like they know our league? It's like, do you not get that it's quite a good thing that people are paying attention from outside? But it was all negative, and it was like, man, you guys are.
You
douches.
The one thing you need to realize, Dan, I don't know if you know this or not, but people from outside of Europe don't, or outside of the U.S. don't count.
Ah, true.
Yes.
You're only half.
I
you're only
keep
half
forgetting
person.
That.
Only half the person.
So I do want to get on one other topic since you did steer us to where I was planning on going for this segment. Mike Goff with us. Dan Bidmead with us.
Hey.
Both people who, Mike currently lives in Phoenix, Arizona.
It's hot, y'all. Don't move.
Yeah. Dan currently lives in London.
It's really rainy, y'all. Don't move.
not London, Ohio.
Not London,
Ontario.
Yeah.
England.
England.
So I want you two to have a discussion about the crew, about MLS, and about how do you get people outside of the core markets. What is
slice the core?
Yeah, the slice of the core fan base. What do you do? Because you guys
Mando
are not
slice.
You're not really in thin. The geographical footprint of the Columbus crew.
I feel like you've just put us on a blind date.
I have.
You guys talk about crew.
And
you,
go.
You guys both like that.
And go.
Talk about crew for a second.
Told you I was going to put you on the show. Do your job.
Talk amongst yourselves.
Talk amongst yourselves, boys.
Here's a topic. Okay, Well, I think for me it was maybe a little more organic and sort of traditional because at the time that I really started to embrace the crew, I actually did live here in Columbus.
Yeah.
I had seen a few shows, but when I first moved here, I mean, we're talking 2002. Like, this was prehistoric days for MLS soccer. If you didn't live in that market, you couldn't see games.
Yeah.
I mean, there might be a really janky, sketchy internet feed that if you actually clicked on it, your computer immediately got AIDS and blew up and it was horrible. Because it was probably, I don't even know who it was. I think it was just being streamed to, like, Qatar for no apparent reason, but good for them and thank them for doing it. So, you know, coming here and everything in Columbus is so heavy on Ohio State.
Yeah.
And you know what? I have come to embrace them in a way, but in that kind of hover hug, like where you're, you know, you're making the shape, but you're not really touching that much. And no knock against them. Go Bucks, whatever. Please don't throw flammable things through my front windows later tonight, because you will. but yeah, it was like, I've always liked soccer, or football.
You mean football, yeah.
I do mean football, sorry. Football.
The one where we use our feet.
Yes.
Funny how that works.
The football with feet and not egg ball with the hands.
Throw ball.
By God, King. Ain't nothing wrong with throw ball. But and again, there's nothing really wrong with it. But you know, for me, I liked soccer. I just did.
Yeah.
And I went to maybe. I mean, I'm not gonna try and front and be like, hey, I was down, you know, from way back in the day, because I wasn't. I probably really started paying attention around 2007.
Yeah.
And I mean, we were horrible that year.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's unfortunate. Yeah.
That was a rough road to hoe, but some good things happened out of it. And then obviously the, you know, blinding out of nowhere miracle that was 2008, and mm-hmm. where we had a confluence of young talent and then a couple of unknown outside veterans that came in, and they gelled so quickly. And that's the thing that actually really surprised me, because I look at our current makeup and I don't think it's that different.
Mm-hmm.
We don't necessarily have the veteran depth that we had that year.
Yeah.
And we don't have Gino Padula. We don't. And God rest his soul. Well, I'm kidding. He's alive and well and healthy. But either way,
he's at the match.
Yes, I know. Yes. I was like, hey, buddy, how's it going?
So it was his daughter and wife.
I'm going to make a reference that you're dead later. Don't worry about it. But we don't have that kind of guy.
Yeah.
This is not a conversation. It's a monologue. I'm so sorry. We left the radio.
We don't have a good enough team. That's the problem with this season. That's the problem with this season. Well, I would say the best way to grow the market outside of somewhere like Columbus is play better football.
Soccer better.
Yeah, soccer better. Hashtag soccer better.
Yeah.
We've not got a good enough team. I mean, there was a brief mention of Merrim.
Did he play really? Do you think he played a terrible game on Saturday?
I don't think I ever saw him touch the ball. I don't remember him. I don't want to, you know, just blaspheme on one bloke. But there's a couple of things you want in a good player: it's good positioning, good ball retention, and good.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot what the other word is. Good dispersion.
Soccer better.
Just good. You know. Getting
distribution.
Sorry.
Yes,
you want those three things. Of those three things, he has none.
Hmm.
He scored those three goals in three games.
Right.
And that's what's kept him where he is. That's why people, because you see it all the time on the internet. You see people going, oh my God, bring on Merrim. He's amazing now. It's like, no, he's not a good.
Yeah,
he's not. The problem is we haven't got a good enough team. And you talk about, you know, people gave Vozier a bad, you know, bad rep for not making subs in the games until really late.
Right.
But you look at the bench, who can you bring on? You can't bring on someone that changes the game. There's no one there that can change what's going on the pitch.
I hate this discussion.
I think the way to grow is
I think it's a great question.
What about the law offices of Finley and Finley?
Finley and Finley.
Yeah. I'm gonna
by the end of the match, I'm usually kind of drunk, so it all blends together.
I still can't get over the Bobrovsky.
I'm gonna defend my
Bobrovsky cup show.
I'm gonna defend.
Get out of my office, Bobrovsky.
Sorry, I'm gonna defend Justin a little bit here. I think that I think he's trying to fill in for. We've been looking for someone to fill in for Eddie Gavin since he went down.
Is that not more Spies?
Now that's a good question.
Or a Null?
Like, where is he at? And so the question is, like, is he injured or... It's so hard to know. A couple weeks ago we heard that he had some sort of ankle injury. Was that it? Or what was it? I don't know.
He's fallen out of favor. I think it's safe to say he's fallen out of favor.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Which is really crazy. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's
no,
nuts.
It's not. Look at our coach.
Well, that's true. But, like, to think that... I mean, I look at what Merrim did on this weekend was basically to be the player on the left who would kind of create a little bit of trouble for the New York.
Well, you can't ignore
defense.
Him. That's true.
Yeah, just by his presence. There was a couple of moments though that he made runs forward that where he was in a dangerous spot and then he completely wasted the possession.
I mean,
there's no doubt about that.
Yeah. Can't you blame that on youth? And inexperience.
You can, but not this many seasons in.
No, what I'm saying is he hasn't played enough in this league at this level.
His development has been wasted in a lot of regards.
But you look at Finley.
Right.
Which Ryan. Not
which,
Ethan.
Yeah, which.
Yeah, Ryan. No, I knew you look meant. At Finley, yeah. Ryan, you look at. I'm going to call him Ryan, like we're buddies. I'm going to call him Rye
Rye.
I'm going to call him Rye Rye. So you look at Rye Rye. No, but you look at him, and he has great positioning.
Yes.
He knows how to get into the places to be where he needs to make damage. He knows how to do that. He, you know, he's lacking other things, but those are the things you learn.
Is he a winger, though?
Lacking a killer instinct.
Yeah, but no, but that's something you can develop and work on. And it's a confidence thing in the league.
So
you know, that's, you've, he's that's stepped up saying. A class.
At the very least,
whereas, you know, he's... Sorry.
No, just jump on Ryan. I mean, at the very least, he's somebody you can bring off the bench that can make something happen.
Right.
He knows where to be. That's the
right. He knows where to be. And so if Adoro or Arrieta are having a hard time, you know, he's somebody you can bring on.
Yeah.
As opposed to a Schoenfeld. Who doesn't quite know where?
Yeah.
But this is a problem. If you look at New York, when we're playing New York, New York didn't have anybody to bring on. There was nobody. There was no answers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're bringing on guys that, you know, I hardly.
But that's been that's been our problem all season.
Right.
That's what our issue is.
There's nobody to bring on.
That, like yeah. I say, my summary: the way to grow the team outside of Columbus is get. Better players play better soccer.
Win games.
That's fair enough. That's fair enough.
Love it, yeah. Right. Better product on the field, easier to sell.
We're coming back the fourth segment. We're going to talk Toronto and the big announcement about Hendox. That's all coming up. It's next. Massive Report. Back at segment four, and everyone's debating our bump music tonight. If you have a better suggestion for bump music, hashtag MRPod, and then I won't read it. So one thing real quick before we get into the whole fourth segment here, I did want to announce a giant pre-party going on here at Hendox for USA Mexico the night before. It's going to be going on. I know this is going to happen at this point. The Winnie Cooper Project is playing, which is pretty awesome. Morgan Hughes just came all over the pool table. Yeah, he really likes them. Yeah, I can say came because he just came. He just jumped onto it, so he's all over the pot. He's all over the pool table.
Yeah,
he showed up just now. Just now. It depends on context.
Arriving.
At least two food trucks. And Hendox is going to have the entire back parking lot fenced off, which is rather large, and it's going to be pretty awesome.
Expensive.
Plus, we're doing our show here with whatever writers and TV personalities that are in town.
All of them.
All of them.
We're going to hogtie and kidnap everyone.
It's going to be a Christmas vacation situation.
It is.
Where we're just going to kidnap all of them, but they're going to
be
on the show.
4-hour podcast.
It may be. So all that stuff. Going on.
I'm sorry, Steve.
Yeah, a lot of stuff going on for that evening. So make sure you're out here. And I do know for a fact that Jack Daniels will be giving away at least one pair of tickets to the game. Oh. At least one, potentially more.
Tickets to the U.S. men's
that
national
would be
team
yes.
versus
yes.
Mexico.
Yes, indeed.
Yes.
Yeah, it's not an Ohio State football game.
It's not an Ohio State football game.
Goodness.
So it's going to be pretty sweet.
Those things are rare.
That's what I've heard. Mm. That's right. I didn't have any problem buying them.
Yeah.
But then again, I'm awesome.
Me neither, brother.
High five.
We're going. You're not. You suck.
The advantages of living here and being a member of certain organizations.
Yeah.
Shifty eyes at you. I'm kidding. I have a ticket. I could give it to you.
Thanks, Chris Lamacchia.
You're welcome.
Anyway, so so we got a game against Toronto, and I kind of want to go real. We're running late at this point, so I want to go rapid fire around the table. Get your thoughts on the game against Toronto. Who do you think is going to win? All that sort of stuff, because apparently Sam has a another bar he has to go to after this because he's
new
still
color,
thirsty.
You're on, new color, you're on the line.
Something along those lines. New color.
You're on the line. West of the Rockies, you're on the line.
Hi, Art.
All right.
I caught
a
gray.
A long-time listener, first-time caller. So,
happy birthday, John.
I caught a gray in my backyard yesterday.
The chupacabra, man.
Chupacabra.
So I want to start with
the chupacabra.
We're going to go against the all-skate direction. Chris, your thoughts on what the Crew needs to do to beat Toronto this weekend, and then your score prediction. Go.
Score more goals.
And what goals would they be?
Well, there are going to be goals from Higuain, because the guy is just pissed at this point.
Yeah.
You get that feeling, don't you?
I do get that
feeling.
Just,
yeah, you really hates, do. You really
hates
do.
Everything that goes on
no,
around
he really
him,
does.
He really just hates
he's
it.
He's like, screw you
he's
guys.
He's like, oh, you guys suck so bad.
Can we just win a freaking game, please? That's all he wants. It's just win a freaking game. God, you guys, just win. He's going to be like Marcia Clark during the OJ trial.
Yeah.
And just completely loses everything. No, to be perfectly honest, I think that the Crew needs to come out and play controlling soccer like they did against New York. They need to come out with fire in their belly and control the pace of the game and play their brand of American football, which is soccer. Danny.
Just checking.
Yeah. And run the field. I think that against a team like Toronto, you need to stretch the field a bit, but don't play long ball, if that makes sense. You know, draw Toronto out of their comfort zone. And I'm going to say this is going to be a barn burner of a match. Let's call it 3-2, because Toronto is playing for something to prove as well.
Justin,
yeah, we're gonna win.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna Done. Win. We're gonna win going away.
Uh oh.
This is not even gonna be close. This is when the goals will come era arrives. Like it's the end. We're gonna
welcome
win
to the sword.
I think 4-0, and I think it's going to be enormous.
When was the last time we scored 4 goals?
New England 2011?
Yeah. No, New England 2012.
Yeah, it was last year.
Last season,
4-2,
wasn't it?
Yeah,
right. Now I've thought about it.
That back and forth.
Maybe 4, okay.
All
you know
the Higuain.
4-1, we'll say
4-1. 4-1, okay.
I think it's going to be a big time win.
Larry.
I can tell you I think they need to do to get that 4-1.
Do it.
Tell us.
Is that
enlightened?
They can't. Well, it's not that complicated to beat a team like Toronto.
Yeah.
You put the ball in this net. It's
you know,
very, very.
And then does everyone go mental?
Yes,
I believe they do. They may go effing mental.
Yeah.
Can I say effing? Wait. Can I say effing?
Bloody.
Say effing. All right. Good.
But to beat Toronto, it's not that complicated. You have to play like Chris was saying. You have to play to beat them.
Yeah.
And one of the problems that Warzia has is that he likes to reward players that played well in the previous game. And that doesn't work in this league. It just doesn't. The players aren't good enough. And so you have to play Toronto. You can't just trot out Miram.
You can't play soccer.
Whoever.
You should never trot. I'm just going
to
say
whoever that. In the midfield and expect to win again, because there's too much information out there. So you have to play a game that stretches Toronto, that makes them uncomfortable to win this game. If you're just putting out the same starting lineup, you're not going to win. Do I think they can beat Toronto? Obviously, yeah. Really,
yeah.
They're better than Toronto. But they can't just play the same game they played against New York and expect to win.
Hmm.
That's my thoughts.
All right, Mike.
So is 4-1 outlandish?
No.
Oh.
No.
I got to know.
Larry.
I got to know.
The most reasoned of us all says 4-1 not outlandish.
Well,
right, Mike, what do you think?
Well, I mean, I would love to see 5 goals. I don't know that 4-1, maybe 3-2.
Mm-hmm.
If I had to pick a score line, I honestly think it's going to be a 2-1. We're going to win.
Right on.
Will Trapp is going to literally be dribbling the ball and solving a Rubik's Cube at the same time. Like, in real time, it's going. It's a trap chance will ring in your ears for hours. Mainly because. Oh totally. You're a very young man, and we're very happy to have you. No, mainly because I think that they are going to be terrified of leaving Higuain unmarked, and they are going to body him nonstop. And then, frankly, if I'm Toronto, I would do that. Because I'm not. My issue with Aduro is unless I let him run onto a leading pass, he's going to give it away.
Right.
My fear with Jairo, who. He's going to come good, and when he does, God, we're going to be scary.
But that man was born in an offside position.
That's true. But exactly,
he was
exactly.
Delivered,
yes, yes, yes. Jairo Arrieta was actually literally born offside.
Born offside.
And exactly. The doctor raised a flag and shoved him back in, and it was very painful for everyone.
Wow. Wow.
Welcome to the graphic hour on the Massive Report Cock.
Follow me, Ed. No, I. Oh, God, I should plug myself. I'm not going to do it. Anyways, it's at Michael the G1. Do it. It'll be fantastic. It's a lot of dick jokes. At any rate, no, I think we win. I think it's 2-1. I think it's tighter than it should be, but we are class over them, flat out, because Will Trapp literally is going to be a wizard, and it's going to happen.
I'm so glad Michael's on the podcast.
Dan.
This is brilliant.
You should have really done this
Dan.
On video.
So, I mean, this is at DannyB90 talking here. Lots of British stuff. I talk about, you know,
lots
love,
of British
harmony,
stuff.
Chivalry.
I like cheese.
Harry Potter.
Chivalry.
Smooth, dulcet.
I reckon I'm going to go ahead and say we win 3-1 because Robert the Forehead Earnshaw is going to score. He's going to score one of Toronto goal in some ridiculous miscommunication of our back four.
I keep forgetting that that's just a guy I picked up on FIFA, like 2 years ago. Because I keep remembering Earnshaw's name getting called out for goals for the Crew. No, not a thing.
I just see him as like a wrestler, as Robert the Forehead Earnshaw. That sort of thing. But no, the best way to beat Toronto is, I say, play Toronto. Toronto are not a good team.
The best way to beat Toronto is to play Toronto.
Yeah. The best way to beat Toronto is to play Toronto.
Simple
that's the best
advice,
way. It's
yeah.
The way to, basically, if you turn up,
yeah,
that's it. I think that's what
unless you're DC United.
The thing is, Toronto. I do have respect for the way they're backing the manager and trying to build things, and he is going to do great things for them. But right now, they're not a good team.
Yeah.
I think the way to beat Toronto is to play Toronto.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And don't do what we've done before and decide to just not play the last 4 minutes.
So
no, it's how we were winning and then we decided to not play anymore.
Yeah.
And then we lost. You know,
and
that's
then we screwed up. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. But the way to beat Toronto is play Toronto.
A name that hasn't been brought up in this whole podcast is Bernardo Honor. Were you just talking about him?
We're always talking about him every year.
I mean,
he's one of Larry's favorite players.
Right, whoa, mine.
Yeah,
he's one of.
I like. I mean, I like Bernardo too.
I like him.
I mean, I like.
I like him.
Yeah, so there.
I thought he played a solid match this past week.
Well,
he
for being out of position. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
well, I think yeah, and it might be his natural position, but he's never played it before.
Which is like central attacking midfield.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It's
absolutely.
Easily the best game that he's played in a green uniform. It might have been a little bit much for him towards the end, but I think that's his natural position. If you're turning a player like Bernardo Honor loose in the middle of the field in Major League Soccer, you're going to win games.
Yeah.
And
seem like New York had an answer for him at all.
They didn't.
It's because they're too busy watching Higuain.
Yeah.
That's the problem. That's the problem the Crew have had. And I think that was probably the difference in the New York game is that the problem that the Crew has had is every single other pass goes to Higuain.
Yeah.
You go forward, Higuain, back, Higuain. And in the New York game, it was less that. And people like Honor and, you know, and Aduro and stuff were able to get in and create options that haven't been there in previous games in the season. I think so. People like Honor are able to take advantage of the fact that everyone marks.
There's not a lot of players like Honor on the Crew.
Exactly.
I mean, there's
so
many players. Yeah. There's only a couple of players that can play that spot, and you know, Spies and Honor are the two. They put Honor there, and he was able to play well. And I think Spies, if they were to put him there, he would be able to play.
Yeah, I agree.
Similarly well.
Matt, I know you've got to give your score prediction, but I have to say this. We're forgetting one serious thing about Toronto and about this Toronto match, and that's Duncan Ottin.
Mm-hmm.
Duncan Ottin knows all of Robert's tricks. Duncan Ottin knows all of Federico Higuain's tricks.
But doesn't everyone know all of Lucia's tricks?
No, that's what I'm saying.
Wait, that's not
tricks. The I'm going to wait till 87 minutes in to sub someone.
No,
that
what
trick?
I'm saying is that
we're not talking about Siggy Schmidt here.
I realize that. But Danny said that you can't, or Toronto is going to be all over Federico Higuain. I don't think that they are because we're expecting Toronto to be all over Federico Higuain, and Duncan Ottin knows that there aren't very many guys on this Columbus Crew team that can play with Pippa, and so
Duncan's going to say, don't give him too much space, but don't cover him like white on rice.
Yeah.
Let him run around a bit and also concentrate on the other nine guys on the field.
Yeah, the problem is really if you give Higuain that space, though, then he becomes dangerous again.
Only if he gets the ball. Who's going to give him the ball?
Yeah, true.
If you cover Will Trapp, then Higuain doesn't get the ball and doesn't chip Robles.
That's something... Wow. Yeah, because when I was watching the game again today, I thought to myself, what would happen if New York had just marked the crap out of Will Trapp instead of trying to shut down Higuain?
Right.
Yeah. Would we have won that game 2-0? That's a really good question. I mean,
would have won it 1-0. A really dodgy penalty.
a really terrible penalty.
Very bad penalty. They had no answer going forward. They had no possession.
Right.
But you're absolutely right.
Yeah, I mean, I think... It's weird. I mean, this is something that we see year in, year out in MLS, I think, is like a team will bring in somebody who's an unknown quantity, and it causes problems for the defense, for the opposition. Mm. And as Will Trapp, I think, look, Will Trapp is a good player. He's a solid player. He does what he is asked to do.
I think he's been given a lot more credit than he's sometimes deserved.
Right. I agree with that. Exactly.
But he is...
But he's unknown. He's not something that the other...
He's a future. He's definitely a future.
Right.
Right now. Go, Matt.
All right, so...
he saw, like, a windmill signal.
I know. Well, Sam's yelling at me because the show is over. So my prediction at this point is that the game's going to end 3-1, and I'm going to get my free White Castle, and I'm going to be very, very happy about it. That's my thought as far as everything goes. For everyone that was involved tonight, really appreciate it. Gabe, who was here earlier.
Real fast, everybody on the show tonight predicted a win.
It's weird. Whoa. It's weird. Gabe, who was here earlier, Dan Bigby.
Wait, Morgan Hughes is over there.
Morgan
his head.
Hughes.
Morgan, what are you? Come here.
Step
come here.
Justin Merriman is absolutely going to play, and that is absolutely a recipe for disaster.
Oh,
he's the worst human that has literally ever lived.
Go away, Morgan. So, for Morgan Hughes, apparently. For Mike Goff, Danny Bidmead, Larry Johnson, Sam Fahmy, Justin Bell, Chris Lamacchia, my name is Matt Goschert, and before I go, I just want to tell you, you were fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. And you know what? So was I.